All right. How many know if we all pull together, we'll be happier? I guess we can. Sometimes we forget those little lessons you can learn as a child. There's another part to that says if we all fight each other. Fight each other. Fight each other. If we all fight each other, we're not going to be happy. How many know that? We'll be sad. And that's not the work of God for us to fight each other. How many know that's the work of the enemy? So we know we live in a world that the enemy is doing everything he can from the beginning to try to distract and distort and make things appear to be something else. It's our job as believers to grab hold to the truth. The Bible says that the Spirit of God will teach all truth. And I've been letting that just go over and over in my mind. We know it in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost was come. They were in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven and filled the place where they were. It was like cloven tongues of fire that sat on each of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. There was a special thing that happened there because when they spoke, these were understandable languages that they didn't know before that because the people said, "How is it we hear them speak the things of God in our tongue, in our language? We're hearing these things." That was amazing there. That wasn't the completeness of the Spirit. There was things that we see throughout the Scripture where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit and how amazing they are. But I was thinking about that, just letting that go over in my mind. I thought about the Spirit of the Lord. It says He guides us, directs us, teaches us into all truth. How many know that sometimes you can be selective in what truth you want? How many's ever had that happen to you? What does that mean? That means we'll come into something and kind of just stay there and camp right there, and we don't want to go any other place. We don't want to investigate the Scripture no more. That's it. But He says He guides us in all truth. Well, when they were guided in the truth, what do you think that He did? Did He change the instructions of God? What was the event? Let's talk about this before we get started. And we're going to again put up the main slide so everybody will see where we are. We're talking about the world as we know it. And we got some more Scripture to cover before I go further in it. So I want you to see that. But when the Scripture, it was clear, it was plain, it was simple to understand. There was no issue. Shouldn't have been any issue when it comes to what the Spirit of the Lord was going to instruct in. So it's an understanding. Was it going to change what they had already previously received at Mount Sinai? No, it couldn't have changed. That would have meant that what God did there, there was no forerunner there. That was just something that happened. It's done away with. Now we move on. Well, you know, if that's the case, then what is the Spirit teaching? If we move on from that, what is the Spirit teaching? You would be left with a book that's empty. So we have to go back and reference those things and understand those things and see how they connect with what has happened to us. So as I was thinking about this morning, the Spirit of the Lord is what helps us understand God's instructions. God's instructions without, if you have the instructions without the Spirit, you can get locked in traditions. And you can get locked in being legalistic about everything. We've seen that happen. But if you have the Holy Spirit without the instruction, you can get swept away by emotionalism. Easily swept away into just, it's all about the emotion. But what if both of them, as the Scripture tells us, as the Scripture teaches us, are locked hand in hand to give the instructions necessary as we're being led by the Spirit to understand those instructions? What if that's it? Should we investigate that? Should we take some time? What I believe has happened over the years is we've had a lot of people on both sides of the aisle. But God is looking for people who come and realize that we need both of them in order to be successful and to understand the entirety of Scripture. Without the Holy Spirit, which is the seal, the earnestness, we are going to be hard pressed to understand Scripture as God has laid it out. It's going to be difficult. Without the Scripture, the instructions of God, without Torah, without observing that, it's going to be difficult for us to stop ourselves from just thinking, I got to feel something every day in order to say that I'm moving it forward in God. What if you learned something you didn't know? You think maybe, just maybe, that could be an indication you're growing in God. You learned something you didn't know. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Teaches. What we need a teacher for, so we can learn something we didn't previously know. Teaches us. So how many ready to learn today? So we've been in this, talking about this particular title. Was a little strange to some, maybe. Is the world as we know it real? What do you think? The world as we know it, is it real? Just a reminder to everyone to understand this. Part of the prophecy from 2001. Was it 2001? 2001. You remember the prophecy in California? Seven steps ahead of you for the rest of it. Part of that prophecy. How many are familiar with that? You've heard it before. I've said it over the years. I mention it often throughout the years from 2001 to now. You've seen the video. You've heard the audio. We've referenced it many times because that's the path that the Lord has instructed us to be on. And we've seen all of that happen. Of course, the biggest thing that we saw in that was the Katrina event and unlimited labors. Eyewitnessed those things unfold. All our volunteers. How many witnessed that? So you saw it coming to fruition. You saw it. And then it talked about this one in particular part that was almost sci-fi, right? Science fiction. So you kind of just avoid that for right now. You know, God, you better come up with something here. What's the sci-fi part? Well, your eyes will shoot fire, right? I covered that a little bit because I talked about the eyes and the perceiving, understanding, revelation. Has a lot to do with that, the eyes, okay? But there's more to it. There's a lot more to it. Your revelation levels will increase. You'll begin to preach like a man, literally, listen to that, from another world. So the question is the world that we live in real, like we know it? So what do you think? You'll begin to preach like a man from another world. That's sci-fi to me. I mean, how many worlds are there? Right? I mean, we can watch all the fancy movies and all, but, you know, as far as I know, there's one right here. And I'm from another. What does he mean? What does God mean there? Does he mean that I'm actually an alien? Rah. That you're from here and I'm from there? Huh? What do you think he mean? I mean, he said it. I didn't say it. I didn't come up with it. I wasn't thinking about that. That's the furthest thing from my mind. A man from another world. I mean, you can't just take some of it and then throw the rest away as fanciful words. Right? We had to deal with the entire prophecy. So a man from another world. Wow, what that means. I wonder if it means a man who sees the world for really what it is. I wonder if it means that. Just wondering. What do you think? I'll lay it out. I've laid out some scripture. I'll lay out the rest, and then we'll get started in this. We're going to take the Bible step by step, and we're going to take our journey through Genesis, incorporating the words of Jesus as we go, because we're going to lock it and link it together. We'll see why did Jesus say what he said. Jesus, again, remember, he was a Jewish feast-keeping Jew who loved the Lord and understood that he had to have a relationship with the Father in order to succeed at the mission he was sent to do. And that's important, because we're going to see why he said the things he said, especially when he said, the words that I speak, they're not my words. Well, the question is, well, who are those words from? He's listening to somebody. How many of you know there's two main speakers when you get into understanding Scripture? Two main speakers. One is Yahweh. The other is Satan. He's got his version, and God's got his version. You got to decide which one you're going to go with. In the very beginning of the Bible, God gave his version, right? And in the third chapter there, we have a little problem because Satan comes up. The serpent's more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord has created. And we already went over that. You know, he creates good and evil, and I can get into that. I may touch on that as we break the scriptures down verse by verse. But you tell people that, and they go, no, not my God. Well, how do you think it happened? So anyway, Satan says this. Hath not God said? Did he really say that? See? So you're going to hear it. You're going to decide based on which one you receive. Obviously, they went with what Satan said and took and ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When we get there, I'm going to really break down. Let me tell you, from verse chapter 1 to chapter 6, we got to get through that all the way up till we get to Abraham's calling out. That area, I believe, several have said this, who've studied this scripture for a long time, that understanding Genesis 6 could be the Rosetta Stone of understanding the entirety of Scripture. Understanding Genesis 6. So we're going to have to get there and spend some time there, in which we touched on it here and there, but never really got to dig deep into it, because it gets a little, some people get scared. Gets a little scary. And you think, well, man, I've been watching these movies, and now you're saying this. Well, it's real. We live in a world that's real, and there's a lot of real things going on, and we have to be. So let me point out some things, and you can decide, right? I always tell you this, search out the Scripture to see if it's true. You take some time and search the Scripture. I gave you a lot of Scripture so far, and I'm going to give you more scripture, and as we go, we'll have more and more scripture to touch on. But we stopped right here, scripture concerning the nature of the sun, moon, and stars. So we're looking at scripture concerning the nature of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, I'm giving you all the scripture. When you get finished, I'm going to start actually going right back to the top, and we'll take them a few at a time, and we'll look at the Hebrew words and what they mean. So let's see how far we can get today. In Job 38, verse 7, let me just say this again because it's been a while since we talked about it. I started this a few Sundays ago. But Job, scholars believe, and most of them do, have come to realize that Job is the oldest inspired text. The oldest. So we know Genesis 1 is given to Moses. And he's writing it. We know that event given to Moses happened long before that. So the event is older, but the inspired text, the written text, there are some things told to Job before they were told to Moses. Things were told to Job before they were told to... Did God like Job, by the way? Did he like him? He loved him. Why? He said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan was going up and down, to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he does. He does it all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's constantly going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. And you are on his list. I'm on his list. He's seeking. You let up. How many's ever seen this happen and can verify this? If you let up in one area, he'll come in and start doing all sorts of things. Just one little thing. That's why you got to constantly be on a guard and watch. Be vigilant. But why did he say that? Because your adversary, the devil. That's why he said that. Watch, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is trying to get you. He's trying to get me and everybody else in here because he doesn't want you to know the truth. Well, let me tell you, Job was told some things. He said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. So God separated him from everybody else and put him right there in that spot. He's righteous. He's a man of integrity. And so we know that the Lord dealt with Job a lot. And we have a lot of reading there. It's a lot of reading, interesting stuff. So Job 38, verse 7 says this concerning the stars and so forth. He said, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Because he asked a question. I know it ends with a question. I didn't put it there, but he says, where were you when the morning stars sang? How many know stars sing? He said it. Remember, there's a couple questions we asked early on at the beginning of this series. Should we take the scripture literally, except for when it tells us it's a parable? Or if he tells us this beast means this, then we automatically know we don't have to because he tells us what it is. But other than that, should we take the scripture literally? Second, do we believe all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it's profitable? And it goes on in a list of things. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, and so forth. How many believe that? This is important for us to grab hold to that. Then it says, prove all things. Prove all things. How many believe we should prove all things? Not just scripture. Everything in life. How many has been told stuff before in your life, and after you checked it out, what they told you wasn't right? Right? So you got to prove all things. Let me just tell you this. Some people will just tell you things because that's what they believe, but you should prove all things. Don't take everything. You say, well, I'm just going to take it. A pastor said it, I'm just going to go with it. Prove what I'm saying. Go look it up. Go search the scripture. We live in an information age. It's incredible that our generation gets to be in this age. It's incredible the information we got literally at our fingertips. Literally. How many's ever been? Let me see your hand if you've been to China. Anybody want to go to China? Google it. You might not have the money to fly. You might not have the money to do all that, but you can go, and let me tell you, they'll show you enough pictures and give you enough history. It's like you've been there. You can do it if you want. It's out there. The information is out there. So you can literally, you can surf the entire world. Yeah. It's right at your fingertips if you want to know that. Man, talking about, I wish I could, you could do it. All that is available to you. And the same thing is true when it comes to the scripture. We have over 5,000 manuscripts of just the New Testament alone. That's in possession. In possession. Over 5,000 manuscripts. So if you want to research scripture and you want to look at it, you can look at it. It's all there. Amen? So keep that in mind when I'm talking about using Job at the beginning. He says, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God. Now, sons of God there is not the sons of Seth. That's a teaching that's out that when it talks about in Genesis 6 that the sons of God took the daughters of men. And they said, well, and they go to the New Testament, they say, well, when they asked Jesus, when one dies, and their custom was that the wife marries the brother. The brother takes the wife, and he says, and she done it seven times, which one's going to be our husband in heaven? So Jesus answers and says, well, neither one, because there's no marriage or giving in marriage. They'll be as the angels. Well, people take that verse and say, you see, angels can't mate. So they got to, now we got to clear up that verse. That verse says sons of God took daughters of men and bore children. They bore children. All right? So now you got one says this in the New Testament based upon that statement of Jesus. And they got the other one says it in the Old Testament. So what they do to make it easy? We don't go by the Old Testament no more. That's easy, right? So you're sure, right? And the preacher says, no Old Testament. Good. That means I got to quit giving tithes? No, well, on that one. That's so close to Matthew. It could be new. You see my point? But that's how folks are. But listen, why don't we just leave the Bible the way it sits? Why we got to try to take a whole portion out? Why don't we let it sit the way it is? So some say that the sons of God are the good sons of Seth married the daughters, and it just goes on to the story. And you can, listen, there's a whole study on it. You could do the entire teaching. I've seen it. I went over it. That's not what he's talking about. And we'll show you later on as we go through this study, the sons of God are the angels. And we'll see that clear in Scripture as it's pointed out. So let's go on. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Verse 15, "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so." Let me see that. "And it was so." So we see something happen. Now again, we read in Scripture about the sun, the moon, and the stars and their relationship. And understanding that, the nature of their relationship when it comes to Scripture. And I'll come back and break them down later. I don't have time to do them right as I'm reading them, but I will come back and visit that. Verse 16, "And God made two great lights." How many lights did he make? So if I tell you that the light of the moon is a reflection of the sun, how am I getting that? If God made two great lights, he made two. What does science say? Science says that the moon doesn't have its own light. How many of you have heard that beside me? Raise your hand if you've heard that. You've heard it in all your life, been taught that in school. That's what. If mom and dad, your kids know what I'm talking about because they're taught that. You've been taught it. I've been taught it. Something we believed all our life. The Scripture says he made two great lights. One to rule the day, one to rule the night. Then we're told that the moon doesn't have its own light, but the moon, the only way you can see it is if the sun shines on it. And what happens is you got a shadow that's produced from what? What makes the shadow on the moon? The what? The earth. Right? Y'all acting like y'all never heard this before. I'm not coming. Listen, if you think I'm giving you revelation, I'm just telling you what we all know. I'm about to give you revelation. I ain't giving yet. I'm just telling you that, this what he said. He made two great lights. He says, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmaments of heaven to give light upon the earth. And to rule over the day and to rule over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Wow. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. "And least thou lift up thine eyes into heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God had divided unto all nations under the whole heaven." Wow. So he's saying here that all of those things are there, and to be careful lest you observe them as something to worship. So they're there, and under all the nations are part of that. They see that. Joshua chapter 10, verse 13. "And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed." How many see that? Remember, they're having this battle going on, right? How many believe words mean things in the Hebrew language? Then he says this, "And the sun stood still." Does that mean the earth quit spinning? We got to take that as a yes, because we know that we're spinning right now at 1,000 miles an hour estimation at the equator. Right? So we're spinning and we got an axis tilt. So they say. You ever wondered how everybody knows that we got an axis tilt? Do you know what the axis tilt equation is? Does anybody know what's left when we take the tilt number off? You do the math, it starts with 6. 6. That's to put in question later for another teaching. Because somebody said that, and I don't know it. I've never seen it. Like, I've never been far enough out to see that it is actually is, but it's been told to me, and so we kind of believe it. It's amazing how all the numbers that get told to people all line up with what Satan says, and none of them line up with what God says. Because you remember, two people are talking here. Two individuals are saying, my way's right. We're going to have to listen to one way or the other. We can't listen to both. He said, and the sun stood still. Why did it stand still? Because he told it to. God honored until the people had revenged themselves upon their enemy. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? How many of you ever read the book of Jasher? Let me see your hand if you read the book of Jasher. The book of Jasher, I gave that information to you a while back. You can go look it up. You can read in there. How many found where this place is written in Jasher? It's a lot of reading. It's there. Just keep on. I'm going to give you exactly where it's at. No, next time we're here, I'll give it to you so you'll have it. I got it written in my notes. So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and hastened not to go down about a whole day. So the sun stood still where? Let me read it again. So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and hastened not to go down about a whole day. So I submit a question to you. What do you think's actually moving, us or the sun? Because the scientists say that the sun is the center of our solar system. And we evolve around the sun. So the earth is moving and it's going, it's not only spinning, but it's going around the sun. How long does it take for it to make one loop around the sun? We would call that a day, right? Which explains the sun rises and the sun sets. And then plus we're spinning. I don't know how that works. Maybe that's an illusion. You ever wondered that? How does it work like this and make that? I don't know. Maybe it's so fast. You know, that's what I always thought. It's going so fast. And plus, we know what holds us on the earth, right? What holds us here? Gravity. Like the big G inside of the Masonic symbol. Just wondering. Like Tony the Tiger, there's gravity. Oh, well, let me get back to this. So the sun stood still and the moon stayed. Who was he speaking to when he said to stay? The sun. Did he say anywhere earth stopped spinning and quit going around in the solar system? Well, we're just reading scripture. These are questions. Judges 5:20. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. How many know stars fight? They fought. When Satan was cast down, he took one third. One third of 100 is what? 3.333333. Now, let me tell you, how many has ever seen 33 anywhere on anything? It's all over the place, hidden in plain sight. It's a satanic number, 33 degrees. It's all over the place, right? It's how the enemy works. Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The firmament. We're going to cover that in detail if I can get to it, depending on how many scripture I get. Day unto day uttered speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their voice is not heard. Verse 4. Their line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Verse 6, his going forth is from the ends of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. The sun has a circuit. Give me one verse. One. That's a challenge to everybody here. I want you to find me one verse of Scripture where the earth has a circuit. The sun has a circuit. The stars have circuits. They're told to do stuff and they have to do those things. Some stars are told to stay and they stay still. We've been looking at them for a long time. We got all these telescopes now. They never move. The closest they can get to movement is maybe a little wobble. That's it. That's what they say. Of course, I've never seen that. I didn't prove that. But they're there. How many of them gets up and the North Star is there and it's just there? Some don't move, but some move constantly. You can put a video of a star. You get it singled in, and the rest of the stars, over you'll see them over a long time-lapse camera. You'll see that there's a circular motion, just like that. You can look it up if you want to go and study it out. I'm just pointing out these things for you to go and research that stuff. Or if you have the equipment, you could do it yourself and see what I'm talking about. His going forth is from the ends of the heavens and his circuits unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. What are we talking about here in this verse? Are we talking about the sun? Yes. We're talking about the sun, and we see that he has a circuit. The sun has a circuit. It's told to do something, and it has to do it. So what if the sun is moving and we're not? You ever thought of that? It's a good thought, because the scripture says it's moving. Psalms 136, to him that made great lights. Who made great lights? Yahweh. For his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule the day, for his mercy endures forever. And the moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. It's all over the scripture. Psalms 147, verse 4, he telleth the number of stars, and he calleth them all by their name. Should we take that literally? He telleth the number of stars, and he calleth them all by their name. I'm going to ask you this question. If you read the text, just the text, and didn't bring anything into the text, if I asked this question, what would be your answer? Do stars have names? You would say yes, because you just read the text, right? You would say they do. Psalms 148, verse 3. Praise ye him, sun, moon. Praise ye him, all ye stars of light. Does the sun and the moon have a command to praise him? What about the stars? Yes. Did all of them obey? No. A third did not obey. You said, well, I thought they were angels. That's a good question. How many times you've read in Scripture that stars are referred to angels? Anywhere? Do we have a hint in Scripture? Let me ask it that way and you can go and look at it. Is there a hint, the remotest hint in Scripture, that stars are referred to angels? How many would say it's more than one time? More than twice? How's about a dozen times? Look it up. Go look it up. You'll see. Different places in there. Okay, Ecclesiastes 1, verse 5. The sun also arises, and the sun goeth down and hastens to his place where he arose. Now, the sun does that. The sun comes up and goes down and hastens to the place where he arose. This is a direct reference, not to the earth, but to what? The sun. Well, this goes completely against everything, don't it? This is like making history class or whatever. Where did they study that? Not in history, science. In science class. Isaiah 13, verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Out of it. That's a whole lesson all its own, right? For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Notice the Son in Scripture is always referenced as a He. And the moon is referenced as a she. Always in Scripture. Sun, he. Moon, her. Look that up. Isaiah 38, verse 8. Behold, I will bring again the shadows of the degrees, which is going down in the sundial of Ahaz. 10 degrees backwards. The shadow goes 10 degrees backwards. So what the sun would have to do in order for that to happen? If we're going to bring the degree 10 degrees backwards, what does the sun have to do in order for that to happen? It has to back up, right? Is everybody, we agree on that, right? That's a simple, straightforward math equation. This is simple. In order for the degrees to go back, the sun would have to back. So again, we have another place in Scripture. So the sun returned 10 degrees. Sun did what? What's that key word there? Returned. Wow. By which degrees it was going down. So it went down and went back. Because it was commanded to. Words mean things. He was never talking to the earth. So far what I'm seeing, all the Scripture we read, we got an earth that's not moving. Just rereading text. Again, I'm not a scientist. I'm just reading the Bible. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You got to decide what lens you're going to see it in. Because whatever lens you see, you read it and interpret it with the same lens. So you'll take Scripture and let not Scripture tell you, but what you'll do is you'll see Scripture through the lens of the scientist, and you'll add into Scripture. You'll eisegete the Word of God instead of exegete it. Ezekiel 32, verse 7 through 8. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heavens and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with the cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. Listen, if you cover the sun with clouds, don't even talk about the moon, because you done took care of that with the clouds. The sun don't give his light. I cover the sun with the clouds, but he addresses the moon independent of that. He says, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon the land, saith the Lord, the Lord God, or Yahweh. This is what he's saying in Ezekiel, reading about these prophetic things. Daniel chapter 8, verse 10. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground, and stomped upon them. Think about that. So is some of them cast to the ground? Now, can you imagine? You remember I did a series a long time ago, right after Katrina, and it was called Relative Size. You remember that? So for me studying this, I basically have to change my view. Because if Betelgeuse hits the earth, what's going to happen? Because remember, I compare Betelgeuse, one of the stars, so says out there, and they compare the relative size. What would be the size of the earth compared to Betelgeuse? It would be less than a pixel. You ought to try that hitting earth. You understand? There's something wrong with the picture. God's picture from the Word in the picture that you and I have been painted. So my view of that is has to be changed, because that's impossible for that to happen. I don't even know if that's real anyway. It's said as it is, but we don't know. Can you prove it? Could you prove that there really is a Betelgeuse out there? I don't have a telescope powerful enough. So says we got one floating out there. That's taking all these photographs and sending them back to us millions and millions of miles away. That's the kind of internet service I want for my phone. Because I was in the hills of Kentucky and it went out. You get my point? I'm calling liar on that. Right? It's the truth. You go down a hill and there goes the cell phone service, but they can send it from millions upon millions and millions of miles away. Data? Video? I'm calling lie. All right, that's just me. Let me get back to the reading the Bible. Okay. Joel 2 verse 10, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun, the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Joel 3 verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Amos 5, 26, but ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chanu, your image, the star of your God, which you made to yourself. Did God make them a star god? No, they picked a star and said, it's our God. Notice that. How many ancient historical writings we find where they made the sun their god, the moon their gods, all throughout the history, right? They pick something, make it their god. And we see that all the time. He's warning against that. Don't do that. Habakkuk 3:11. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. Does the sun and the moon have a habitation? Yes. And they stood still. Doesn't say anything about the earth standing still. Doesn't say anything. At the light of their arrows, they went, and at the shining of their glittering spear. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. When is it going to happen? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Is it going to happen before? No. It says immediately after the tribulation of those days. Who's the speaker? Who's letting us know this? He's given us these words so we can hear them and clearly understand them. The sun shall be dark, and the moon shall not give her light. There's that her light again. So if we're looking at the sun, we know it's him, the moon, she. And the stars shall fall from. The stars shall fall from. We got problems. If the stars shall fall from heaven, that's some serious problems. Right? And the power of the heavens shall be shaken. This is, and again, I'm going to take some time to go over all this with you. Let me read all the text. Acts 7:43. Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, the star of your God. And see, again, they picked something. Moloch was where they gave all the babies were sacrificed. They did a lot of human sacrifice to Moloch. Figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. So this was, they knew they had broken the commands of God. And did they get carried away to Babylon? Absolutely. This is, he's just reminding them, this is what happened. This is what you did. You picked out a star, forgot the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you began to worship them. And so this is important. How many know that the stars, the creation of God, well, there's some who will want your worship rather than you worshiping Yahweh, right? I'll build my throne or my kingdom above yours. And then he convinced a third to go with him because they wanted to seek that worship. That's one thing, you wind up in a lot of trouble when you go against the plan that God has set in motion already. And we see that. That's the controversy. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 41, and there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon. Let me see that. There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon. There's two distinct things there. Another glory of the stars. Right? If we go on with the premise that the sun gives light to the moon, then it also gives light to the stars. Who's going to go with that one? Anybody? Who here believe that the sun gives all the light to the stars? Who would want to go with that? Because if we're going with that premise, because see, I'm telling you, the argument is, well, when he's reading this, he really means that the sun gives its light, but the light that it gives is the one that it gives to the moon also. But we got to keep reading because they stop right there. If that's the premise, does the sun give light to the stars also? Who would like to take that argument on? I think they're all independent. according to Scripture. There's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star difference from another star in glory. So that's what we have. We have a difference. So not only does he go on further, he said the sun has glory, the moon has glory, the stars have glory, and the glory in the stars is not one alike. Wow. That's a lot of information. You just think if you keep in that journal, their name, their glory, their dominion, their power, their brightness, or whatever. Where, the ones who's told to stay, the ones who's told to move, the ones who's, all of that is all recorded. Isn't that amazing? Revelations 1:20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And there's an argument to be made on a couple things there. The word angel could also mean messenger. Can a messenger be an angel? There you go with your argument, you see? First thing, but that ain't stars because it's angel. You know, it's a messenger. Can a messenger be an angel? Well, a couple famous ones. You ready for this? The angel Gabriel goes to Mary and gives her what? A message. That's one famous right there. They got way more than that, but I'll just give you that one. All right? So, the next one, Revelation 6:13, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. So I talked about them falling. Where do they fall? And the stars of heaven fell into the earth. Where did they fall? To the earth. Even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. How many of you ever had that happen? You're looking at your fig tree, everything's nice, and a wind comes, and you go outside, and they're all laying on the ground. You go, man, I wanted some fig jam, you see? And he said, that's how it's going to be when you're talking about stars falling to the earth. Wow. Just keep all those things in mind. Revelations 8, verse 10 and 12. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. That's a difference. He called it a what? A great star, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. The name of the what? The star is called Wormwood. So the star is there, and then it falls. It's in its position, then it's commanded, and it does the job that it's been appointed to do at that particular time. Has that happened yet? Not yet. Will it happen? Well, if we go on with the rest happen, that's going to happen. Where does it fall to? The earth. Do you understand that? It falls to the earth. Somebody simply says, well, this means, and this is what eschatology does. They'll get into timetables and in prophetic things, and they'll try to make that mean something. Because it makes more sense. Right? Well, we'll see. We'll see. Like one says this. And I don't want to say his name, but you know, he's a famous guy. Got all kind of books. Anyway, he says let me read it. I think I have it in this one. I may not, but we'll see what the next one says. A fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Revelations 9:1, and a fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And this is my point. What happens when he gets the key in the bottomless pit? He opens it up. What comes out the ground? Well, it says it's like a being. I believe it's a being, an entity, that's got a tail like a scorpion. That's what it says. But the guys are trying to make more sense so you don't go crazy when you see this stuff. Forget the Bible says when men see these things, their heart will fail, literally have heart attacks. He says, well, it's not really talking about those kind of beings. It's talking about Apache helicopters. I'm just telling you that's what's being sold. And you know what's sadder than that? It's being bought. They're selling a million copies. People are buying it up because now they know what's going to happen and they can prepare themselves. I want to tell you, if you understand Genesis 6... What he says coming out is what's coming out. It's going to be terrifying. What does that have to, what am I going to do? Well, you're in the safety of the hands of Yahweh from what Yeshua provided at Calvary for us, you're going to stand in amazing that it shall not come nigh thee. That's what you're going to be doing. It's amazing. Absolutely incredible. Oh, wait. I thought we was out of here. We might have to look at that again, right? Immediately after the tribulation, these things will happen. Immediately after. Well, I don't want to go through that. Well, listen, there's two ways to look at this. You can go through it on your own. Or you can be in a relationship with Yahweh through Yeshua and what he paid for at Calvary. I'm going to go with the latter because I think I'm going to come out on the winning side. Let me say, scholars believe if you read Revelation, it's complete, it's a repeat of the Exodus account with the plagues. It's just a repeat. We had it, and it's going to be a repeat of that. That all those plagues. What happened? How many of the people that he delivered out of Egypt died from the plague? None. Because when you step over the threshold covenant and you go by his statutes and his regulations, you're going to have a land of Goshen where everybody else is falling around you. I'm going with that one. Amen. And I know people say, why would you set people up where, you know, for failure? It's just not, I'm just going with the word says. That's what it says. But the more and more as you study the plagues and all of that, it's almost like it's going to be another Exodus. Did they go before the plagues or after? I'm just asking. It's going to be another Exodus happen. Did they leave before or after the plagues? After. Wow. So, if we apply no preconceived notion upon the text, and I read, if you wasn't here the rest of the services, I read well over 100 verses, right? I would say well over 100, maybe close to, I don't know, maybe 150, 160 verses. If we apply no preconceived notion upon the text, how do you imagine a newcomer to Scripture would view the heavens, earth, sun, moon, stars, just based on what we have read here? What would be your view? So if I asked you a question before we read the text, what you know about the earth? Where is it right now? Right now, we're on it, but where is it out in the universe? It's spinning. Correct me when I hit something wrong that you don't know about. It's spinning on an axis with a tilt. The axis is a tilt. It's spinning 1,000 miles an hour, so says at the equator. Okay? Then it's in orbit in a solar system with other planets going around the sun, which is the center of our solar system. Right? And then in that solar system is a speck, like a piece of dust in a Milky Way galaxy called the Milky Way galaxy. And then the Milky Way galaxy is a speck all its own in amongst all of the entirety of the universe. And somewhere out there, in all of that, there's God. The question is that the biblical view? This is the biblical view on all my research. You can put it up. This right here, and I wish I could have it bigger for you, but I couldn't get it any bigger because it's hard to see. This is the ancient Hebrew conception of the universe. Okay? I got this from Logos. My Logos Bible software, after researching and looking at Scripture, they said that after their research of Scripture, that if you took the Bible literally, if you take the Bible literally, you would come up with this concept. If you look at just the Bible literally, this would be the concept of what it looks like. Okay? So now we have the earth. I'm going to see. Go to the next one and see if it's better. Okay, it's not much better, but that's the best I could do with it. I need to try to figure out how to get it not out. When that's just other views that you could go to. But up at the top, you see God, right? And that's where his throne is. And it makes sense because he says the earth is his footstool. Now, either God is the first one to invent Disney World rides and he's dizzy and spinning right now, or we just came up with that. Because if you're sitting on a throne and everything is spinning, I don't know how to picture it. This footstool's spinning. You know, see what he's in, a massage chair? What is going on? And then he's spinning because he's on the throne. So think about it. We have God and we have the heavens and then we have the waters above the firmaments. You see that ring, that upper ring? And then we have the sun, the moon, and the stars in the firmament. Then we have the earth. And of course, underneath, we have the great deep, Sheol, because the Bible says we have waters above and below. So we have this picture. This is the biblical view. And so the question is, well, what about all this stuff with space? Go look at it. Go look it up for yourself. Research it for yourself and you come to a conclusion. I'm not here to convince you anyway. I'm here to read the word to you. That's my job. I read the scripture. I'm telling you, this is the biblical. This is the, if you want to know what the Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew conception of the universe was, this was what it was based on scripture alone. Based on scripture alone, this was their view. Now, here's what the smart folks say. Well, you know, when science has come along, you know, we got to get a different view. Okay, so what's their view? The first thing they say is there was a speck of dust that heated up. And it kept expanding until it exploded. And when it exploded, it produced the universe. And it's constantly expanding universe. And one, there's another speck of dust that they found within that universe that's called the Earth. And the Earth has its own sun. And many planets have their own sun and moon. It's not a big deal. You know, it's nothing special. But for whatever reason, the ones that say this is actually on that speck of dust. That's no big deal. And the way we got there is as this thing was spinning and the explosions happened and stuff started cooling like a piece of slime, you know, landed in the water of the earth and then started moving and things started happening there. And all of a sudden they started like a hatchery, as it were, you know, the temperature got right and they produced more. And then it came into a living organism. Wow. This living organism, you know, is floating around in there, and it decided. The organism decided, after a while, you know, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm going to have fins. Oh, this is better. Oh, boy. And then it swim around for a while. Millions of years. Swimming around. Oh, this is boring. I wonder what's, every now and then it peeked up out of the water and saw green stuff, you know. And so I know what I'll do. I'm going to grow legs. That's what I'll do. So it crawls up out the water. And then it does that and figures out, wow, this is so nice. And I don't just want to be this. I could be something else. And then it says, I'll just be, I want hair. Then it walks onto the water and looks and goes, ah, I want to be smooth again. You buying that from the monkey man? I don't buy it. But that's what's being taught in the school. So if you're wondering what your kids are learning, that's what they're learning. And you're not going to teach them any different because you won't know what to teach them. You'll say, well, we just believe in the Bible. Well, that'll get them a long ways right there. We just believe in the Bible. So believing in the Bible, yeah, I believe that it exists. But what is in there? See, knowing the Bible exists is not enough. You got to have the information that's in there. So if somebody said, well, we believe in the Bible. I remember when I was in school and they'd come up with this, I'd go home and say, Mama, do you know that we come from a monkey? She'd go, we don't come from monkeys. The Bible says we were created. So that's good. So we go to school. And what you do as a kid? The subject comes up, and you're, ooh, like a monkey, right? Ooh. The teacher says, what you got? My mama said, and there goes the argument, right? My mama said, we created by God. And then they quit, change the subject and move on. Well, anyway, that's been smoothed over the years. They've had subtle ways to do it. And we have all this stuff happen. That's what's happening, okay? You say, well, it's not that big a deal. It is, especially when you go to university. Because once you go to university, you're going to be dominated by that mindset. There is no mindset of Scripture. So that's what happens. And then, of course, science goes on and we discover so forth and so on. But anyway, scientists are fighting right now. They're fighting. This one's saying this one's bad and this one's lost his mind and all that. And the scientists are fighting each other. And now they have different concepts and they're changing it. And they're having to change what someone said and it's all evolving. What if we just took the biblical concept and we say this, the earth is stationary and God sits enthroned above the firmaments, and he's got his eyes on us. What if we go with that concept? It all of a sudden makes the earth very, very important on comparison to all the rest of the stuff that we so say is out there. Oh, man. The Lord himself. The earth is his footstool. Think about that. It's powerful. So I hope that you can kind of understand this. And it goes on. There's different concepts throughout Scripture. And I'm going to break this down for you as much as I can. Go to the next one. This is some ancient ideas that they would... These are drawings done, ancient ideas of how it looked. Go to the next one. Here's one that just put Scripture to it. I'll give you those Scripture as we go through them. The next one. Is the world as we know it real? We have to ask that question again. Is it real? Discovering our world through the Word of God. How many want to know what God said about it? And you decide after. I ain't here to convince you of anything. I'm here to just show you what the Word says. And I'm not pulling these things out of some book that you've never heard before. This is straight out your Bible. I gave these verses to you. What are we going to do with them? How do we reconcile those verses when he says those things? Well, let's look at a few of them and see what we can come to. We only got a couple minutes to start this, and I'll kind of lay out a foundation where we can go with this. If I were to be perfectly honest here, I'd have to say that I do not get a spherical globe spinning around in an endless void of space. From my reading of the above scripture, the Bible seems to be telling us in no uncertain terms that we live on a still, as in stationary, flat, enclosed earth. And there we go with the word flat. Because that's kind of been around for a while. But let me just tell you, before you throw stones at me, read the scripture and understand what they say. And I'm going to bring this to you from a biblical standpoint. You look at it. I'm going to see how it fits scripturally. Why did God do it the way he did it? Why did he design it that way? Because remember, how many believe God's the designer? So then what do we do with all these pictures we have from NASA? You right? What do we do with all the moon expeditions? Because there were many. I think went up to Apollo 17. Was that right? But then not all of them went. There was a bunch. They just called them that. Some of them blew up on in the thing. So they count them still. One, two. But there were 17 Apollo. I think that. You can, you know, just check for yourself. But I'm somewhere around there. But what do we do with that? They went to the moon. I mean, that's a long way away. Right? So they went there. They figured out how to do whatever, you know, land on it and everything. How to atmosphere. It's a vacuum. So it says it's a vacuum. There's no air. Right? Nothing. It's a vacuum, a complete vacuum. So everything kind of just lays there. So we have all these photographs, literally thousands of photographs we have of the earth. Right? This beautiful marble, blue marble of an earth. We have thousands, literally, all over the website. You can go and look at those. So the question is, what do we do with all that? I mean, it's just there. We have it. What do we do with it? The question is, have you ever noticed anything that's sent, given to you, it, none of it matches what God says? So there's, here's the thing that has to happen. There's two ways to look at this. God is true and every man a liar. Or God's a liar and every man be true. Which way you want to go with that verse? The verse says, let God be true and every man a liar. Or we can interpret the way we do. Let man be true from science and God be a liar. Because science says God's a liar. Science says God's a liar. There's no way that we have all the people we have without an evolution. Right? So God didn't create man in his own image and his likeness. God didn't breathe the breath of life into man and man become a living soul. That's what science says. God didn't do any of that. Go ahead and have your religion. Go get your little spiritual thing on. We're not against that, scientists say. But don't come in here and try to bring the Bible in to teach history. It's a religious book. We don't want no history from it. And so then it's not allowed. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to take that? Oh, well, I guess, you know what, let's just go to church. And let me tell you, so people don't do that. It has been done. It's been being done and it's still being done. People go to church. That's what they do. They go to church. They put on the church hat. And they're all in with God. They get out. They look at the world in a scientific view. The lens changes. That's not good. Let me tell you why. Because you're going to miss God when it comes to the prophetic things of God. You'll miss it. And you'll come up with these slogans and these ideas. And everything has to fit. And when you start reading Scripture and interpreting Scripture, it has to line up with the scientific view. I'm saying this is my view. My view is I'm going to make God be true and every man a liar. I'm going to go with God on this, and I'll take my chance when it's all said and done. But what would you do? What would be your point of view? What would be what you want to do? That's up to you. So think about this. So no uncertain terms, if you read the Bible and take it literally, no uncertain terms. We are on a still fixed place. It's called, you know, when you call something a planet, there's an addition to that according to Scripture. Did he create a planet? Or did he create a plane? You see, you can add one thing and take it from a plane to a planet and it'd be something different. So we're going to take a look at that. We get some time to do that. We're going to go into that as much as we can. I'm going to take it from the very beginning and take you on this journey. Genesis 1:1 is where we'll get started tonight, and we'll go from there. We'll see how far we can get. So this is where we'll start. We read all the Scripture. I read Genesis 1:1. I'm going to start breaking it down. I'm going to give you the word in the Hebrew setting for firmament, all of those things. Circuit, ball, all these things. I'll give you all the definitions for it. So this is a good place for us to stop. And we'll get started again tonight right here in this particular part. I'm going to ask you to do this. Take some time and start challenging what you've been led to believe all your life. Start challenging it. Don't be afraid. I know it sounds crazy. You don't think it sounds crazy to me? But what made me feel better about it is when my mom brought to my attention that the prophecy said a man from another world. And I'm telling you, the world that I'm going to show you in Scripture is completely different than what we've been led to believe. What if God sits on the throne, and there he sits, right above us? I want you to think about it. So when you look out in the sky, he's right there. He's not jumping planet to planet, Milky Way to Milky Way. Because then we got to come up with all kind of ideas. Is there life somewhere else? And we don't know, so we're going to come up with, well, maybe, I'm sure. Why would he do all that creating and all these other Milky Ways and only put one planet in millions and millions and millions of Milky Ways that's got life on it? That's senseless, right? And so what happens, it draws your attention away from, if you think you're significant, you ain't nothing but a piece of slime that grew wings and then legs and then hair, and you look like a monkey, and then you turn into a man. So don't go be giving me that God stuff. You're nothing. You're just an accident. Or you have a designer whose name is Yahweh, who loves us and cares about us. And when he created his masterful plan, he made sure to protect it and cover it with a firmament. And he put everything there, and they let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. And I'm going to do everything according to this timepiece that I set in motion. And I'm going to return. And I'm going to commune with you and you with me. What if all that's true? So we want to talk about the gospel? You know, I had it said before, you know, the gospel is so easy, even a child can understand it. You know, to understand the love and the grace that has been explained to us in Scripture, it is. It's so simple. You can explain it to a child. But after the child's got the gospel explained to them, and we have received it by faith, except you come as children, we can't even enter, and we accept it. You know, you take a child, when you start teaching them, if you start teaching them the things of God, when they get older, it's going to be hard for them to be changed into some other thing. But if you don't teach them when they're young, and that's all they know, it's difficult for you to start teaching them that. But what we should do is, once the child understands that we have a God who loves us and cares for us and did all what he did, then we have to teach and train people how to stay in that when they're up against the lie. Because that's what it is, the lies. You're up against it. And if you don't think you need to be careful, we have two people in the garden who never had any kind of outside influence. And then they were made to believe that God said something that he didn't say. And they accepted that. What do you think we got? We've been tainted. We've been exposed to all sorts of stuff. It hits you in every side. I don't care if you're watching TV, it hits you. If you're watching movies, it doesn't matter. Anything you out there, you're being hit by these other things. And until you stay, if you don't stay in the Word of God and protect yourself, you can accept anything. And I know we don't want to hear this. A lot of people say, man, let's just go back to church like we was. We could do that. Well, at the end of the day, what's going to be our hope? What's going to be our hope? We don't want to challenge ourselves. We don't want to. I just want to go to a church that just go. Find that. What's going to happen in the end? When Yeshua returns, what are you going to be doing? He said there are going to be two doing something. One's going to be left and the other's going to be taken. And we all read that as the taken is the good guy. We better read that again. I submit to you, the one left's the good guy. See, we read it. Oh, and I can't wait for me to be taken. You're going to be snatched by the enemy. Well, you're being taken. People's being taken every day by the lie of the enemy. And you say, well, you mean this is a big conspiracy? You ever wondered about the world you live in? You ever wondered what you mean to the world, the richest of the rich in the world? What do you mean to all of the enemy who's the god of this world? Never forget that. He's the god of this world. What do you mean to him? You're nothing but slaves. That's all we are. We get up in life and we're just another piece moved on the board of life. Some live, some die. So what? But that's not how God views you. You understand that? God don't view you like that. He sent his only begotten son to die for us. You're not just a piece on the board to God. You matter to God. He cares about us. He loves us. He could have just started over. He's God. But he said, I'm going to fix the problem with sin. They missed the mark. But I'm going to fix that by grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Isn't that incredible? So I think we just have to understand that the view we have has to change. And if we'll just line up with Scripture, you're going to be called crazy. Wait till folks listen to this. I mean, they're already on my case. I'm telling you, they're going to go, oh boy, he done flipped out now. That's fine. I'm not making this up. I'm just reading what the Scripture says. Know what we want to do? We want to disregard all them verses. How many believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness? All of them. So we don't read that. Well, we don't fool with that. And that's what happens. You camp in one spot. You know, for the most part, folks just want to, they'll live in Galatians. They'll go to Galatians, live right there, and that'll be it. Because Galatians says everything they believe. We don't believe in a feast, and we go on with grace, and that's it. We're a New Testament church. So again, you built your own organization, your own mindset, and we don't do the Jews, they don't do Jewish things. See? And so that's what happens. It's a separation, but we never read that in Scripture. What we read is a bringing together. We have the instructions of God that have to be, and we have the grace, and they come together. And the grace has given us a chance to keep the instructions. Because really, we already used up all of our opportunities. But grace coming found us. Because we've sinned against God. And the same thing happened with, he could have destroyed Adam and Eve right there. And he took more dust. Listen, if he started with dust and made a man, he could have started with more dust and made a man. Let's not forget that. Right? And if he took flesh from the man and made a woman, he could have done that again too. But he didn't. He just stopped, took him out of the garden. He said, now you're going to go. But there's a plan. And what the plan was, listen, he says, your seed, talking to Satan, your seed is going to be against her seed. So don't tell me God didn't know the plan before he scraped dust from the ground. He knew the plan when he, listen, I can tell you this. I don't know where the water come from, beside the fact that it's part of God, because it don't say he created water. It says, and he separated the water from the water. God, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The deep there. And then God says, let there be light, and there was light. And then he separates the water from the water. He puts a firmament, and we're going to get into that tonight. I'm going to talk about the rakia. The rakia in the Hebrew, these are words mean things. And we're going to talk about the ma'im and the shamayim tonight. So that's tonight's lesson. So you come back and we're going to get into this and we're going to start laying it out. Wow, it's going to be incredible. So tonight we'll do that and we're going to continue in it. We're going to start. My goal is to get from chapter 1 to Genesis 6 as quick as we can. I'm not sure how, and I'm going to explain that to you. We're going to show you the uprising, the giants, all of that stuff. Amen. I mean, you know, up to a few years ago, the mainstream church would have never even used the word giant in their church services because, giant, you're Goliath. He's dead. Bye. See you. We don't understand the concept of what went on. And if it wasn't necessary, it wouldn't have been recorded in Scripture for us to understand that. And then I'll bring in some of the biblically endorsed extra-biblical texts. The ones that God actually uses. He quotes them in the Bible, so that's biblically endorsed, right? If he quotes a verse of something that's extra-biblical, that's biblically endorsed. Remember the book of Jasher? Have you not read this in the book of Jasher? That's an endorsement. Or leave that out. Right? Leave it out. So I'm gonna bring in Jasher. I'm going to bring in 1 Enoch. And we're going to look at this thing the way God said it for us. Okay? Well, I appreciate you. I thank God for you. I hope that you are willing to take on the challenge so we'll learn some things in the Lord. I can tell you're going to come out of this. You're going to understand Scripture in a completely different way. The Word's going to become real to you. It's going to make sense to you from Genesis to Revelation. How do we learn about Revelations? We go back to the beginning. The end from the beginning. The end from the beginning. And that's what we'll do. Remember we put 6 people up here? I told one person something. And in the end of the line, it was different. They had some of it right, but it was different. So what's the easiest way to get the correct information? Go back to the beginning. That's what we're doing. So tonight, Genesis 1:1. We'll start again. I done that I don't know how many times. Amen. So you go back and look at it. So there's always something new to learn. So I appreciate the opportunity. Think about this. Don't listen. I'm not trying to get you to make your mind up about anything. I'm just reading you the scripture. Go investigate it for yourself. You'll find out that a lot of stuff around the world, it's been a lie. How many's ever seen the Truman Show? Anybody ever seen the Truman Show? How many know what that means? The Truman. Who knows what that is? The Truman Show. I seen it, right? Well, it didn't make no sense to me, right? When you see the Truman Show, it don't make no sense. What are you talking about? That's crazy. I want to tell you that when you start looking this stuff up, you're going to find that a lot of things has been hidden in plain sight. Why do you think in all the music industry, anything they're doing, the sports industry, everything's hidden in plain sight? They're trying to throw it in your face to let you see how dumb you are. They're saying, look, I put it right in front of them. They don't even know it. And we're talking about, we know the Bible. That's why we can't get atheists and agnostics. Nobody wants to hear our message because we can't explain scripture. They got a question and we can't answer. We go, well, I don't know what that means, but I'm saved. Well, that's good you saved, but they're not. And they're questioning. Well, I want to tell you, if you go with God, you'll have, be able to answer the questions. You will be. People will listen to you because you know your Bible. You don't just say, I'm saved. Well, it's more than us being saved. We're supposed to be a light to the world and salt to the earth. And so that's important. Who wants to be able to have an amazing testimony that you can deliver the scripture the way God wants you to and anoints you to do? Well, it's available to us. It's going to take some time. Let me tell you, it takes time to dig in the scripture. It takes a lot of time. But that's what we should be doing anyway. It's our book. We don't want to claim the book to be the most holy book. And so hopefully we'll take some time to do that. Okay? Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for everybody that's here. I know it's a challenge. I know, Lord, we're stepping out in another. Here we go again. But, Lord, I know that your word is true. You said, let God be true and every man be a liar. And so, Lord, if we just take the Bible as it is and we look at it like you delivered it, there's no way what we've been told can be true because it doesn't match what you said. And, God, unless you come and tell us that there's a line of separation where we only can take you for part of it and then take the world for the rest, then God, that's what we'll go with. But until then, we want to repent for any time that we've done that without your guidance in it and come back to the truth of the word and realize what you said. God, the stuff that you direct us in, that's what we want. So we ask you, Lord, for wisdom and understanding. We pray for protection. God, that we don't go off in anything that doesn't line up with your word, that the text doesn't say. And God, we ask him for that protection. I pray, Lord, that each person here that takes some time to go forth and do what you call them to do, that they'll understand it. We just thank you for it, Lord. I want to say we love you and honor you for all that you do. And God, if it wouldn't be for your hand upon our life, we wouldn't know what to do. But I know, God, right now, that you're awakening your people. There's a great awakening. And God, it's not emotionalism, but you're waking us up to the truth before you return. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that is amazing grace. We love you for it and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great God. We thank God for you. Appreciate you for